some of the stuff Pastor was talking about. I don't remember. We say something like this in Poland. We say, staros nie radość. That means old age is no fun. We start forgetting stuff. But I do remember that banner. That was rough, holding that thing. It said something like, heaven is real. No.
Heaven is real, heaven's hot.
But Jesus saves. There you go. Mike, how do you remember that? You were just a kid. Wow. Before I get into this, this thing sounds like it echoes or something. Before I get into this, I want to tell you a little story. It happened in Poland several years ago. Brett and I were by the metro. And Brett was preaching. It was when I first got there. And I couldn't speak a lick of Polish, sort of like now. And we were preaching at this, he was preaching at this, I was sort of standing there, minding my own business, of course. And Brent was preaching by this spot that we don't normally preach at. And there's a reason we don't preach there now. Because every time we preach there, we have problems. Brent reminded me of this tonight when I came in the door. He says, why don't you let me borrow your tie? And he reached out and he started taking it off. And I said, Brent, I need it. And he says, well, I want to borrow it. Hey, H-Rack, start taking it off or something. And he was telling me why he was doing it. Why don't you tell these guys what a nice guy I am? Okay. This reminds me of the story. Okay, back to the story. We were by the subway. Here we go. Brent was preaching. And this guy came up to Brent. You remember? The guy came up to Brent. And he had his jacket, the football team. What is it? The football jacket. Denver Nuggets. Is that what it is, really? Is it the Nuggets? I don't know. But Brent, whatever. Nice jacket, right? I mean, he stood out in Poland. Nobody in Poland has a jacket like this. Nice jacket. Thick, warm. This guy came up to Brent. And he said to Brent something like, that's a nice jacket. Hey, this guy's drunk, right? You just smell the effervescence coming off his breath. I don't know if Brent was telling me this later, because I was standing here minding my own business, remember? And he says, that's a nice jacket you got. Why don't you give it to me? And he reaches out and he starts to take the jacket off for Brent, unzipping it while Brent was preaching. Do you remember this? And I was standing there, my eyes were getting bigger. So I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand what they were talking about. This guy was trying to undress Brent. Now this, for me, was a new experience. I don't know about you guys. And as time went by, I decided to stop minding my own business, and I walked over, and I grabbed this guy by the jacket, and I just sort of started to walk. By then, this guy had fallen down. He was holding on to Brent's leg. And I was pulling on the jacket, and this guy wasn't letting go of Brent's leg. And so I was pulling, and he was pulling, and Brent was being dragged. And you know, at this time, something happened. Some of his halls were decked by balls of holly. I don't know what that has to do with what I'm trying to talk about tonight, but it reminded me of the tie. Sorry, Brent. But that's Poland for you, folks. Booze is everywhere. It's a national pastime. And it controls a lot of people's lives. But that also has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about, or try to talk about. The title of this sermonette for Christianettes who smoke cigarettes is called Things I Had to Unlearn in Poland. Things I Had to Unlearn in Poland. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, for our first verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 and 7. First Chronicles 21, chapters 1 and 7, it reads, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." Then verse 7, "And God was displeased with this thing before. Therefore he smote Israel." Now many of the illustrations I'm going to use, some of you have heard before, but please bear with me. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon says. I was led to Christ in my barracks room when I was in the Navy in 1982. That's before many of you were even born. By a man by the name of Tim Fowler. From that time over the years, I've sat through many, many sermons. And I've said that before too. Like I said it Sunday night. But I've sat through many, many sermons. And this, if not outright stated, has been implied. Not many people are getting saved because not enough Christians are preaching the gospel to the lost. I think I've even heard that since I've been here. I believe that and even preached that, said that many times over the years myself. When I first came to this church from Czech Republic in 1997, I was convinced of that. If I just contact enough people about the gospel, a certain percentage of them will get saved. You want more people saved? You just increase the number you contact with the gospel. One time I was sitting in this congregation. I don't know who was here, but I know Billy was here. Billy Kincaid. And there's a missionary up here from Romania. And I think, if I remember right, he had a printing press. And I was sitting there, minding my own business, listening. And he makes an outlandish statement. I can't remember the numbers exactly, but I know it was something wild. He said "For every 10 gospel tracts or 5 gospel tracts that are passed out, 3 to 4 people are saved." And I was gullible enough for a few seconds to believe that. Wow. And I can't remember exactly how it happened. Did Billy stand up while he was preaching, or was Billy the next speaker? I can't remember. But referring to this, is Billy here? Are you okay? Bill, do you remember? No. It happened, folks. I was here. Okay, but Billy got up here and he says, referring to this statement, he says, "Now I passed that," something to effect. This is not a quote. It's not inspired. But something to the effect that, "I've passed out many a tract in my day. And I've never seen anything like what you're saying." And Billy was suggesting that you're extremely exaggerating. Or perhaps he was suggesting you're lying. He didn't say that. Either one of those words. But that was the insinuation. It's not a numbers game, folks. When I was living here, I was going sometimes to a Baptist church. to knock on doors. I want to do some extra knocking on doors. And this Baptist church was knocking on doors. And I think I've told this story here too. But I went to this Baptist church to knock on doors with these brothers. Oh, I'm sure they're saved. Hey. And they looked at me kind of funny when I told them the name of the church that I go to. But they said, and when I asked them if I could go door knocking with them on, I don't know what day it was, Thursday night or whatever it was, that's not important. They said, okay, that's fine. So we got in this car and we were going out. We were getting dumped off at these different houses. And they paired me up with this guy. And they said to me, you just keep your mouth shut because we're really not sure of you yet. I said, that's fine. I'll just watch. So we went to this house, knocked on the door, and the guy had a flip sheet. Flip cards. And he started going through these cards and showing this guy these flip cards. I guess it was the gospel he was going through, I guess. And then he finished the flip cards and he put his hand on this guy's shoulders. And he says, would you like to pray with me? And this guy could barely speak English. And he's, yeah, I guess. And this guy, he got down on his knees and he was pulling this guy down with him. And he was, you pray after me type stuff. And I was standing there minding my own business, of course, watching this. And they finished. He read a couple more verses for this guy and said bye. And we left. We got back in the car and this guy was starting to tell these other brothers about how this person got saved. He led the person to Christ. He was marking this down. Day he led this person to Christ and all this sort of stuff. The numbers, and all these other brothers from these different houses got in the car. And I led three to Christ. I led four to Christ. You know. And I was just sitting there minding my own business. That's what these guys are actually believing. It's just a numbers game. All you got to do is do the numbers. Play the numbers, and a certain number of people are going to get saved. You pray a prayer, even if you force them through the prayer, that person's saved. You can mark your Bible, buddy. You are a soul winner. You see, it's just a numbers game. Excuse me, folks, that's secular philosophy for secular sales. If you have a product, you contact enough people about that product, and it's a sure thing you're going to sell. But we're not secular salesmen. This is not secular sales. The Holy Spirit is not a puppet that you can just push a few buttons and he'll work the way you want if you push the right button. Say the right things. You put your arm in the right position on a person's shoulder. That's the Holy Spirit working. Come on, give me a break. And I told these brothers something to this effect. And I said something rather stupid. I know you don't believe it, but I did. I said something to the effect that, man, if these folks aren't even willing to get baptized, I doubt if they're even saved. And I mentioned the word baptism, and you must be a baptismal regenerationist, or something like that. And all of a sudden, I was like the scum on the bottom of their feet. And they couldn't get back to church fast enough to get me out of their car, into mine, and hasta la vista, baby, you're gone. Secular sales is not our business. We're not secular salesmen. Seeing people saved is not a numbers game. God works where He wants to work. He is completely sovereign.
Amen.
For years, when I first got to Warsaw, I would take a knapsack. That's when I really thought I was in shape. And I take this knapsack and I fill it up with gospel tracts. And there's these huge apartment buildings. I used to literally run up those stairs of those apartment buildings, tagging doors. I couldn't speak the language. I couldn't do anything else. But one of the reasons I did this is I had this secular sales philosophy. If I contact enough people about the gospel, a certain percentage are going to get saved. It's just a numbers game. But that ain't true. You guys know it ain't true if you think about it. Case in point. Several of the brothers, the Polish brothers and sisters, the first few years when I was there, they used to meet with your missionaries at least every Saturday for evangelism. And every once a week for door knocking. And another time during the week for street preaching. They did that for several years. They contacted a lot of people about the gospel, their own people. There's no strange accent. There's no excuse. But every weekend, at least every weekend, they met Brent, Joe, me, Corey, Josh, Linda, Cassidy, Missy, for evangelism. And these folks were sharing the gospel. The gospel is not complicated to explain. It's not. They're doing it to their own people. They contacted a lot of them. Folks, if it was just a numbers game, your missionaries would have the biggest churches in Mexico and Poland. Because your missionaries contact a whole lot of people about the gospel every week. Your missionaries, with the exception of me, are not pansies. These people are out there and they are contacting folks about the gospel. It was a numbers game. Hey, this Fu Manchu guy in Korea that has the biggest church, they wouldn't be talking about Fu Manchu in Korea. They'd be talking about your missionaries and their churches in Mexico and Poland as being the biggest churches in the world. If it was just a numbers game. But it ain't. But I thought it was for many years. That was the suggestion in Bible school where I supposedly went. I squinched 4 years into five, buddy. And that was a waste of money, buddy. That was a waste of life. But anyway, I was there. And whatever. Let's not get off on a horse. Let's not chase a rabbit. Okay, here we go. Let's continue. If it was only a numbers game, this church would be the biggest church in Texas, if not America. Because there are people in here. I see your faces. You guys are out there, you're doing the stuff. You are not pansies. You're sharing the gospel every week with a lot of people. And you guys have been doing this for a long time. And even you folks that are not out there every week, I know in your personal lives, you're sharing the gospel. A lot of you are. Because your pastors are pushing you, as they should, to preach the gospel. And many of you are filled with the Spirit. You are preaching the gospel. If it was just a numbers game, this place, there wouldn't be enough room for the people you would have to fit in it. But it's not a numbers game. God is sovereign. He works where He wants, when He wants. And He doesn't work where He doesn't want. I know that's hard for some of you to swallow. And some of the things I'm going to say tonight, you might disagree with me. I hope we all have the grace to agree to disagree and let it ride. It's not a numbers game. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. You don't have, I'm not going to say you don't have to turn there. It's impossible to say that in this church. But I'm just going to quote part of the verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, just part of the verse, it says, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's past tense. Colossians 3:12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That is present tense. The things I had to unlearn, relearn, learn since I've been in Poland, it's not a numbers game. Given your body to be burned does not make us any more loved by God. One more time. Given your body to be burned does not make us any more loved by God. Tom Perkins was a man. He was a navigator. I don't know if you guys understand what that means. He's not in the military navigator. He was a military outreach navigator. You guys heard of Nav? Some of you guys have. He was a man that taught me many things from the Scriptures when I got saved in the Navy in 1982. That was almost 30 years ago. Almost 30 years later, Tom is still teaching me things through the Internet. I have contact with him. And Tom and Steve Delros this last year have been hammering into me this fact, and I quote, "We can't do anything to make God love us more. We are already in the Beloved. God loves us because He chose us and chose to love us. His love is infinite according to these verses. We are already in the Beloved." I'm going to chase a rabbit here. Chase a rabbit. One of the greatest men, greatest Christians I know is Steve Delros. That man, he has some medical problems right now. But I tell you what, he has joy. He has joy. And you never see the man down. He's sort of like Dale. You never see the man down, but he's suffering. It's not anything serious, don't worry. But he is suffering. But he's always got a smile on. This man can teach you some stuff. And he's always talking about being in the Beloved. We are there. If you are one of God's elect, another word for saved, folks, don't get squeamish because I use that five-letter word. If you are one of God's children, you can't increase His love for you by running up and down stairs with tracks on your back. Or preaching on the street so long that you irritate somebody and they body slam you to the cement and break your ribs. You can't do it. He already loves us infinitely as His children, whether we serve Him or not. That needs to be taught, because we could go off into legalism. And Steve says that too. He's one of my favorite preachers. He always will be. Several weeks ago, my little boy, 3 years old, he did something to irritate me. This hardly ever happens. Almost never. Come on, I'm being sarcastic. I didn't yell at him, believe it or not. But my voice wasn't as actually sugary when I spoke to him. I went in the next room. And Beth came to me a few minutes later and said, "Your son, Reese, told me that Daddy will never love me." Well, that kind of blows you away. I went in the other room to find him crying behind the couch. I picked him up, hugged and kissed him, and I said, "Baby, I will love you till the end. There's nothing you can do to stop me from loving you. I'm a wicked man. I'm a bad father compared to God. If I could, I can't imagine not loving my boys, even though they irritate me constantly. I can't imagine losing that love for them. If I, as an evil person, bad father, can feel about that like that about my boys, how must God feel about us? We are beloved already. That will never increase or decrease because of our actions. Every night I take advantage when I'm at home. I go in there in my boy's room and I pray with him. And I kiss them often on the forehead, on the cheek. I got to take advantage now because one day they're not going to let Daddy do that. So I take advantage now. And I constantly say to them, every night I say to them, I love you and I always will. And I'm an evil man. This book tells us that if we are in the elect, God's children, God says He loves and He always will. It's not a numbers game, folks. It's not a numbers game. Giving your body to be burned does not make us any more loved by God. Zechariah 4:6. I'm just going to read part of it. No, let's find the whole thing. Let's read the whole thing. Zechariah 4:6. It says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." From 1993 to 1995, I was in Hawaii teaching a Christian school, suffering for the Lord, mind you. It's not what you think it is, folks, if you've ever lived there. But anyway, I won't go off on that. While there, I started going to a few of the red light districts in Hawaii, in Honolulu, to street preach with a couple of Hawaiian brothers. There's a lot of red light districts in Hawaii, I can tell you that, in Honolulu, Honolulu. Can't pronounce it right anymore. I did that for about 2 years. In 1997, before I left Czech Republic, I remember praying. And I've told this story here before too, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. Old age does that to you. I prayed and I asked God specifically to guide me, lead me to a couple of people, men, that I can street preach with. And I was on my way to Czech Republic. Now, even as I prayed that, I really didn't seriously think God was going to answer with a yes. Because let's face it, folks, that method isn't exactly the most popular thing in Christian circles, preaching in the street. I was in Czech Republic for less than a year when I was visiting my old professor from Bible school in Warsaw, Poland. I remember riding along in his car one day, and I was trying to make conversation. Well, yeah, how do you talk to your professor from Bible school? How do you do that? It's a hard thing to do. But I was trying to make conversation here, and I asked him, well, What type of evangelism do you like? And I can't remember what he answered. I don't know if he answered me. But then he asked me, and he says something to the effect. He asked me, well, what type do you like? And I said, well, I like street preaching. And he said, that's funny. There's a couple of missionaries here in Warsaw that are using that method and trying to build church. And I got excited. And I said, I sure would like to meet them. And he said, well, that's funny. There's going to be a picnic in about 2 hours, and they'll be there. And that's funny. Their wives are at my house. You'll meet them in 10 minutes. Remember, good morning yesterday. You wake up and time has slipped away. I'll save you from that one. Forget it. Amen. Oh, good. Okay, I say all that to say this. Street preaching for me did not start when I met Joe and Brent. It didn't start when I came here to Oakno. I was street preaching where street preaching wasn't cool. It wasn't cool in Hawaii. I was street preaching these transvestites. Have you any guys ever seen a transvestite? Oh, if you're in the Marines, you probably saw them. I'm sorry, brother, I couldn't read this. We would be on these streets, and I'd be preaching, and there would be these people walk by. And these people would look awful good. And I said this to the brother. I said, well, I would say, wow. And he said, it's not what you think. Those are not what you think. And he said, what do you mean? Those are not women. Those are men. And he said to me this. He told me this. He said, if it looks too good, it means it's not real. And he told me this. Look closely. If you look closely through throats, you'll see an Adam's apple. And he made this revelation to me. Women don't have Adam's apples, guys. That was enough to gag a maggot, folks. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. Ouch. Okay. I'm convinced that the method is biblical. Okay, street preaching gives a lot of people one-time chance to hear the gospel. Whether they accept it or not, that's between them and God. Let me kick this dead horse a little bit more. I'm going to pay for it later, so I might as well get my money's worth. In Warsaw, there's around 1 million people use the subway every week. We have found places to preach that in just 10 minutes' time, within earshot, people walk by us while we're preaching. There's hundreds and hundreds of people that walk by us in just a few minutes' time. Every one of those people gets a chance to hear the gospel. They're doing this, folks. They're walking. They're hearing. It doesn't take much to stop, turn, and listen. That doesn't take a lot of energy. All those people are making a moral choice, whether to keep on walking or to stop and listen. When Brent preaches, there's usually an audience of 4 or 5 lines deep of people listening. When I preach, I usually have one man and a dog. And I'm happy for the dog because I'm thinking that at least something is listening. But the point is this. We're giving a whole lot of people using this method an opportunity to hear the gospel. Now, a lot of you are going to disagree with this, but I'm going to make it anyway, this statement. I believe that just by giving that large number of people that chance, we are fulfilling the part, our part in the Great Commission. And those people's blood is off our hands. I'm sorry if you disagree with me. Street preaching gives a huge number of people that one chance to hear the gospel and avoid hell. I say all that to say this again. It's not the method. I used to think that. I used to think street preaching was it. Street preaching, man, we're gonna rip that country apart with a street preaching, buddy. See, I had the secular sales philosophy. Because in street preaching, you're contacting a whole lot of people about the gospel in just a week's time. Especially when you stand in a place like the metro, the subway. No method will work if the Holy Spirit is not. Amen. One more time. Let it sink in. No method will work if the Holy Spirit is not. That is biblical. It's not the method, even though the method is biblical. But knocking on doors is too. It's just that street preaching gives you more contacts, throws more seed out there, and that seed is bouncing off the walls, man. When you're street preaching, you're hitting a lot of ears. It's bouncing off a lot of hearts, even though most of them are hard. It's not a numbers game. Giving your body to be burned does not make us more loved by God. It's not the method. No method will work if the Holy Spirit is not. Brent used a passage of Scripture tonight that I was planning on using. It's actually written here, so yeah, I have proof. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. If you want to look at it. You know, an interesting thing about the places and the cities in the Bible, it doesn't matter how you pronounce them, because nobody really knows. So you can just pronounce it any way you want, and you know, as long as it's close, you know, people tend to accept it. Okay, and that's what I'm going to do right now. Acts 16, verses 6 to 7. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, whatever, and the region of Galatia, I know that, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they had come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. We're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. We're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. One more time. We're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. When I first heard about all the success of missionaries in Mexico, I went to Poland expecting that the same would happen there. Man, I was expecting hundreds to get saved and the church to be planted in many cities across that nation. We're going to rip that country apart, or so I thought. I come back to you. 10+ years of being there with this report. After preaching the streets, almost from the first year, because I memorized my first sermon in Polish the first year, so I was already preaching the gospel in Polish from the first year. 10+ years of preaching the streets, knocking on thousands of doors, passing out over 1 million tracts personally. An old radio announcer used to say, if it's true, it ain't bragging. And this is true. I'm not trying to brag. Passing over 1 million tracts personally and taking thousands of people through the gospel step by step, I come back here to tell you that I have, to my knowledge, led nobody to Christ. I shed many tears over that. I've lost a lot of hours sleep over that to the point where I have to take pills to sleep. That saddens me deeply. But I've tried to be honest with you folks over the years, and I'm trying to be honest with you now. I have not seen what you guys saw in Mexico. I haven't even seen what the other brothers have seen. I'm not saying that the Lord is not working in Mexico. He has not worked. These other brothers have led folks to Christ. Several people to Christ. We have a working church, a very small working church in Warsaw with a pastor. But it does not mean that God won't work in a larger measure in the future. It does not mean that. But we are obligated, even though all of this, we are obligated to preach the gospel everywhere to everybody. And let God take care of the increase. God giveth the increase. It's not a numbers game. Giving your bodies to be burned does not make us any more loved by God. We're already in the beloved. It's not the method. No method will work if the Holy Spirit is not. Poland is not Mexico. Poland is not Mexico. The Lord chooses where He wants to work. He has done some great things in Mexico. And that was His choice. Maybe He'll choose to do greater things in Poland in the future. But to this point, I haven't seen it. And I'm constrained to be perfectly honest and frank with you. It's not a numbers game. Giving your body to be burned does not make you more loved by God. You're already in the beloved if you're saved. It's not a method. It's not the method. No method will work if the Holy Spirit is not. Poland is not Mexico. And that's for my last point. I've learned other things, but I mean, you guys don't want to be here all night. God's people said, thank God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 9. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The portion of Scripture I want to look at is this. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I prayed for my mom for 15 years to get saved. She died, as far as I know, she died Christless. I prayed for my grandparents for over 20 years that they would get saved. To my knowledge, my grandpa died an atheist. And as far as I know, my grandmother died in her own goodness. That means damnation. I remember praying for Brother Dale, begging God, heal Brother Dale, that wonderful man. I don't want to lose that brother. So many people love him. I remember praying with tears for days, heal that brother. God took him home. I've been praying for Pastor Kincaid for years. Years. Ever since the beginning, when I first met him, I found out he had diabetes. That God would cleanse him of that cancer. It hadn't happened, sports fans. I've been praying for Steve for years. Oh, that God would heal his body. It hadn't happened. And one member in this church, I was telling Pastor Brian just the other day. He's one of the people I pray for the most in this church. But you know what? It seems like it gets worse for the guy. No is an answer. I've heard many a sermon in my short life. That was a joke. I've heard many a sermon on prayer in my short life. And often you hear that God's answer to prayer is either yes or wait. Very seldom do you hear it's no. Three people that I've loved most in the world have died since I've been in Poland or Czech Republic, and they've gone to hell. Even though I prayed with tears for years for them. No is an answer too. God is sovereign. He can do what He wants with what He made. He is the builder. He is the creator. He is the potter. We are the clay. If He wants to smash us, that's His choice. There are some in the vessels made to honor and some to dishonor, the Bible says. Clearly. It's not a numbers game. Giving your bodies to be burned does not make us any more loved by God. We're already in the beloved. It's not the method. No method will work if the Holy Spirit is not. Poland is not Mexico. God is sovereign. He works where He wants, when He wants. It is His choice whether we like to accept it or not. And no is an answer too. These are just some of the things I've learned in the past 10 years since I've been in Poland. In closing, I want to emphasize, and I'm totally serious, of all the missionaries that you have in Poland or Mexico, I am the least worthy of your support. But I thank God that you have mercy on even the weakest among us.